This is The Takeaway. We're going to shift away from politics and talk about rights and some of the political implications when people see what those rights mean in their community. Let's go to Iowa. In April of 2009, the Supreme Court in Iowa ruled unanimously that same-sex marriage is constitutional, and it changed things in Iowa. But the following year, three of Iowa's Supreme Court justices who voted for that decision were themselves voted out of office, including here Chief Justice Marsha Ternus.
We knew it was possible that the dissatisfaction with the decision might prompt groups who opposed marriage equality to get us off the court.
Has a legal battle produced a political backlash? We're going to discuss that with Harvard Law professor Michael Klarman, who examines gay marriage, courts, and public opinion in his new book, From the Closets to the Altar, Court Backlash and the Struggle for Same-Sex Marriage. He joins us from the studios of our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So in a sense, the system allows for reexamination of issues that are passed legally in the courts, but then produce their own political dynamic. Abortion, of course, is the great national example. How has this played out in same-sex marriage?
Well, if you start back kind of at the beginning of the litigation story, the Hawaii Supreme Court in 1993 provisionally ruled in favor of same-sex marriage, and that led to 35 states and Congress passing defense of marriage statutes over the next half dozen years. Then you get the Massachusetts Supreme Court decision in 2003, squarely ruling in favor of same-sex marriage. That's the first such decision in the country. And then within the next 5 years or so, you get 25 states passing constitutional amendments barring gay marriage. And you also had a pretty dramatic effect in the 2004 election. So a couple of Democrats lost their Senate contests. And there's actually a decent argument that it influenced the outcome of the presidential election in 2004.
Well, it influenced it in California, yes?
California was a state that Obama was probably going to win pretty easily no matter what, even at the same time that they were passing Proposition 8, which rejected same-sex marriage. But in Ohio in 2004, that was California in 2008. In Ohio in 2004, President Bush won by only 2% of the popular vote. And if he not won Ohio, he would not have been reelected. There was a same-sex marriage referendum on the ballot that year, and it passed by 62-38%, a margin of 24 points. So if you calculate that either some voters might have turned out who otherwise would have stayed home because they were mobilized by the same-sex marriage referendum, or if some swing voters might have shifted from one column to the other, then it's possible that a Massachusetts court decision on same-sex marriage actually influenced the outcome of a presidential election the following year.
Talking with Michael Klarman, who's a professor at Harvard Law School, author of the new book From the Closet to the Altar, A Court Backlash and the Struggle for Same-Sex Marriage. But it's interesting, if you take the Ohio case and the California case, it's a kind of get-out-the-vote dynamic meets the social agenda, in the sense that in Ohio, the referendum was put on the ballot, and it certainly drove conservatives to the polls and could have influenced the election in Ohio. You suggest that maybe by as much as 2%. On the California side in 2008, because clearly Barack Obama's presence on the ticket drew blacks to the polls to vote for him, there was some suspicion that Prop 8 being on the ballot in California would draw positive votes from the African-American community, and indeed it did.
That's right. There have been different estimates, but anywhere from 58% to 70% of African Americans voted in favor of Proposition 8, that is to ban same-sex marriage, and it passed by about 52.5% to 47.5%, about 5 percentage points. African Americans turned out in historically high numbers to support the first African American candidate with a real chance to win the presidency. My understanding is there were about 10% of the voters, even though only about 6% of the population. African Americans tend on average to be more religious, and more than any other factor, religiosity, as measured by things like how often you go to church, tends to predict views about same-sex marriage.
Let's talk about this particular court. The John Roberts Court is expected perhaps to take up the Defense of Marriage Act. Would that resolve this issue? The Obama administration has argued against that law and through the Justice Department. There seems to be divisions within the federal judiciary. There seems to be divisions all over the United States about whether the Defense of Marriage Act is constitutional, is appropriate. Legally, would it settle things if the Supreme Court were to take it up and affirm it?
If the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, that would be the end of that matter. But there's a distinct issue, which is state laws forbidding gay marriage. So there are two separate issues. The Defense of Marriage Act is a congressional statute that provides that the federal government will not recognize state definitions of marriage if states decide to marry same-sex couples. If the court were to take that case, and most people think that the court will, it would actually be a little bit easier for the court to strike that down than for the court to strike down a state ban on gay marriage. And the reason is that you would get perhaps a coalition of conservative justices who believe in federalism and might not understand why the federal government needs to have a definition of marriage distinct from that of the states. You might get a coalition of those conservative justices with liberal justices who you might expect would be more sympathetic to same-sex marriage. So I would expect the Defense of Marriage Act to be a relatively easy case for the court. I think it'll be more complicated when the court takes a case involving a state law or constitutional amendment forbidding same-sex marriage.
Michael Klarman, professor at Harvard Law School and author of the new book From the Closet to the Altar, Court, Backlash, and the Struggle for Same-Sex Marriage. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We got some backlash from our conversation with two African-American women, one Republican, Renee Amour, and Democrat Hermine Hartman. Renee was arguing pretty hard for the Republican program and said Barack Obama hadn't done much for small business. Well, Wendy in Deerfield Beach, Florida, said Hermine could have pushed back harder.
Hermine didn't seem to articulate very well the agenda, and this is what's been happening with the Democrats as far as Obama. Obama has done many things for a small business owner. My husband and I own a small business. We've been given back some tax money. We've been given back money on our child's insurance. We see so many issues where Obama has been fighting for us, the small person. And don't forget, there are many white Americans who are voting for Romney simply because he's white.
Desmond in Detroit said he didn't find Renee convincing enough.
I would conceivably support Republicans if it didn't seem as if the party was on a race to the right. As a young black man, I don't see the Republican Party as being a Republican Party where I fit in. As a gay man, I don't see the Republican Party moderating itself anytime soon. And so I don't think I can bring myself to vote for such a divisive group of people.
And on this International Day of the Girl, want to tell us who is the strongest woman in your life?
The strongest woman in my family is my younger sister, 20 years old, raising a 5-month-year-old baby on her own. She's 4 years younger than me, but I look up to her. I can't imagine anyone taking on the responsibility of a child doing any better than her.
Thanks, Simon from Brooklyn. Tell us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. Coming up tomorrow, as we mark the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis, we're joined by writer and Mad Men creator Matt Weiner. He'll be discussing the vision behind his brilliant Cuban Missile Crisis episode that closed the second season of Mad Men. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage of The Takeaway is supported in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.